Brian Katz, one thing that has concerned me is, well, this diversity, of course, which means getting not only diversity on stage, but getting diversity into the theater. The other problem is getting younger people interested in theater. The last time I was over at Custom Made, I talked with someone who worked there named Max, and he's 23, mm-hmm. and he started naming his favorite theaters, and I'd not heard of one of them. Is there this underground younger theater that the rest of us just simply don't know about? And if there is, where does Custom Made fit in there?
We all started off that way, right? We were all the younger, the ones who have survived. We were all, Crowded Fire was the younger theater once upon a time. In fact, started like the same year we did. Cutting Ball was too. The venue I mentioned before, which is Piano Fight, which is a place that they can afford to rent and also know that an audience will come. The Exit Theater, of course. I'm a big fan of Faultline, which Max is one of their producers. He's also my resident lighting designer. Also Breadbox, which is a small company that people should be paying attention to that does a couple shows a year. They're a resident company at the Exit. There's always companies that start off and can make a splash, and then, 5 years is a bit of a cliff for everybody for some reason. I don't know. I was told that year one, year three, year five, year 10 were all cliffs. And that data, someone has data that shows that those are ones you have to get past. You either grow at that point or you go do something else.
Do you pay attention to something that I know Marin does a lot of this, is one play talking to another? Is that something that concerns you at all?
Not too much. I do think the seasons are a curated event. So I guess I'd have to ask them what exactly they meant by that. I do think as a whole, they kind of feel like something. We don't name them. I think we did that once. We might have named a season. And then I was like, oh, that's ridiculous. I don't want to do that again. I got tired of talking about it like 2 weeks
well, also,
in.
Also, if you could get the show that you really want. Yeah,
that is always part of it. And also, like, directors bring me shows, too. Some of the shows are brought to me by certain directors who are very excited about them. And I read it and I go, oh, I love your work and I love this play. Let's do this. And I'm not really going to wonder too much about how it fit with Slaughterhouse-Five. On the other hand, I think I'm worried more about the opposite. I kind of worry about, like, do we have plays that feel repetitious? Do we have two classics next to each other? Do we want to have a new play there? So if for our subscribers who are experiencing the full season, they've had a good ride. You know, it's got a bit of an arc to itself. Our new plays have generally been in this, like, January, February slot, something we've done 2 years in a row and we may do again next year. It allows us to produce plays that are a little riskier and give them shorter runs. We're also doing, and I didn't mention this, with Salmon, Day-Day, and Serpents, we're calling it the Undiscovered Work Series. It's not something we're, like, blasting on postcards, but it's kind of an internal and a grant writing thing. But it's going to get expanded. And we're going to try to keep this time of year probably for plays that we really know we're taking big risk on. We share designers for it. It's one unique thing we're doing is that the same, even though these two plays have different casts and different directors, they're sharing the scenic designer, lighting designer, sound designer, and costume designer. And the set has to turn over in about 4 days. So it's being designed to basically flip like it's a repertory theater, right? It's been fun. It helps us save resources. It's a fun project for the designers, hopefully. They might listen to this and go, no, not at all. But it's been a way that we've been able to program some even riskier stuff than we have in the past.
From what I can see, the two best shows I've seen over at Custom Made were Grey Gardens and, beyond that, This Is Our Youth. Would you kind of agree with that?
Some of these are my children, so it's hard to pick them, right? Isn't that such a cliche answer? Grey Gardens was wonderful. As an artistic director, it was such an easy process because I came in for like the first time I saw a run and it was wonderful. And I was like, okay, there's always stuff to work on, but it was like, this works better than I thought when I read the script. And that's always a lovely moment. This Is Our Youth I directed. So it's really hard to get distance from that. But I can say the process with those three actors was wonderful and seamless. And we were always working towards a goal. And it felt like we were always getting closer every day. I direct very differently with like a three-person play. And when I say a three-person play, it's a two-person play because there's only 90 seconds in the play where like three characters are actually on stage talking to each other in just sort of a little bit in the second act. The plays like that, I don't really like to pre-block at all. I mean, I kind of have an idea where we're going, but I'm like, I got two actors and the play just like kind of composed itself and I don't even know when it happened. And it was lovely. It was a wonderful experience.
It also feels as if there's something about the play that will allow any given actor in the play to bring in their own world. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's because it's 320-somethings, so you're casting 320-somethings. Once you cast them, they're the characters. And there are very few plays that really, really work like that. Does that make sense to you?
It does. Katie is actually 19 when she started the play. So she's actually the exact age of the character, which right. You don't get too often when you're casting that kind of character. I knew Katie. She was in Top Girls for us, and we already loved her. But it was an early decision, and I've told a lot of actors who like auditioned for this play who I didn't use, who I love. Listen, I went with the 20-year-old cast. I went with the young ones because when a 28 next to the 19 was kind of creepy, actually.
So how old were the two?
I think David, who played Dennis, I'm 22 or 23, and Sam, who played Warren, maybe 25, 26, but is obviously very young looking. But that's still very young. They taught me. I taught them how to like handle a phone in the 80s, how to use the record player, and that was an adventure. Why you'd wait for the extra ring. And there was a time before call waiting, by the way. Yes, you could actually lie and say I couldn't get through to you because your phone was off the hook. So I taught them that kind of stuff. But they were the ones who were the even more than – director's always a bit of an emotional BS detector, right? Like that feels real. That doesn't feel real. They knew. And Katie had a wonderful thing to say to me, which was at some point in the process, she's like, this play takes place in 1982, right? And by the way, this is not exactly my era either. I'm like 8 years older than this, but it felt pretty similar. She's like, if you put cell phones in here and you talked about Facebook or whatever, she's like, it's the exact same things my friends talk about. Like, that's how on track Lonergan is on that script. It is timeless for what it is to have those weird little years, either before college or right when you're out or if you don't go, you know, where you don't know what's next, what to go, what the plan is, and everything is overwhelming and everything is over emotional. And it's a beautiful script. And of course, that's the start of it, right? Which is that this beautiful script teaches us as well.
Brian Katz, now you're in the new place. And now I guess it's just consolidating what you have and working from there. So this is a new project for you.
Yeah. I don't feel like we've had to rebuild audience. We've had to teach them that we're not where we used to be because some of them go to the old space and come to us in a panic. But generally, we have more seats now, and 99 feels a lot bigger than 60. We're in growth mode. We're trying to figure out the marketing. That's a lot of it. And you know, we're a small theater, so we all wear a lot of hats. And my other hat is marketing, even though it's not the thing I am best at in the world. And trying to figure out how to tell people we're here. The best way to tell people you're there is do great shows, right? And have people go away and go tell people they saw in this little weird, it's next to the 7-Eleven. You know, you go upstairs, a long flight of stairs, and then you're going to see a very different experience than you expect in a small theater environment. Season planning is always season planning, and so we're in the midst of it right now. But now we're thinking about the space, and now we're thinking about the audience that we're getting in the space and a combination of what they want to see and what we want them to see.
And you want to make sure the audience is young and grows with you, which is another thing.
That's the difficult part. The Love and Warcraft show we just did, In Love and Warcraft, which was another show about – we did two shows about 20-somethings in a row, which – they had to be at that time, unfortunately. And we've had younger people in the house than I'd say we've ever had because of the nature of those two shows. Now, we'll find out. Although Rachel is a young playwright and Ariel's a young director, so and Serpents is – it's not for children. I think anything 12 and older is probably fine, but it's an adult show. So we always try to do work that's going to be accessible to all ages. But, yeah, all theaters are trying to keep younger people in because they hopefully grow up with you. We have subscribers who are in their 30s and 20s, and they are so valuable to me. Just not that my other subscribers aren't, but what if they're with us for 20 years, right? What if their kids then join? We've had subscribers meet and start dating at our place. We're hoping that's the future, right? We'll just get them that way. And you know, hopefully work that's fresh always feels young.